It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin has joined more than 20 other states suing to block the Trump administration's most recent sweeping tariffs and get refunds. Here's Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call on Thursday announcing the multi-state lawsuit to block 10% tariffs on imported goods.
We are hopeful that this case will deliver real relief for consumers and businesses in Wisconsin and around the country.
Then on Friday, U.S. Customs officials told a federal trade court judge that the agency's computer system is not equipped to immediately process hundreds of thousands of tariff refunds, but that it's working on a streamlined process to be up and running within 45 days. The federal government estimates it collected roughly $166 billion in tariffs that the U.S. Supreme Court found unconstitutional in February.
Over the past year, Wisconsin Today has been closely following how tariffs have affected Wisconsin businesses and producers.
We're checking in with two business owners now to find out how they're navigating these shifting costs. John Hayes is owner and president of Goodman's Jewelers in Madison. John, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here with you.
And TJ Samanchin is co-owner of Wonder State Coffee, which has four locations in Madison, Bayfield, and Viroqua. TJ, welcome back.
Thanks, Kate. It's great to be here.
So, TJ, a federal judge has ordered the Trump administration to start refunding these invalidated tariffs it's collected over most of last year. Are you expecting to get money back?
I guess we're not expecting anything right now. It's not clear. I know that it sounds like the administration's challenging that order. We are hoping to get our money back from last year.
You're hoping, but you're certainly not planning on it.
Well, we're talking to lawyers and other folks in our industry and what the response is. But yeah, we're going to pursue that, and we feel we should be getting that money back. But again, things are changing so quick in the messaging coming from the administration. On one hand, they said they would be doing a refund, and now it seems like they're fighting it left and right.
If you do get this refund, how would you use it?
Well, the refund would go towards the things that we would wanted to do last year, which was to invest in our company and invest in growth. Invest in our staff. And in addition, you know, just running a small business is getting more and more expensive. Our cost of healthcare is going up. And so it would offset the things that we're trying to do.
John, what might this refund be like for your jewelry company?
If it happens, we would probably do our best to calculate out what the additional costs were charged to our customers and try to rebate back some of that in a form of a store credit, probably would be the most efficient way for us to do that.
How did the tariffs affect your jewelry business, especially during the holiday season?
A lot. During the holiday season, people were very cautious about what they were spending. Larger ticket items were way off. Because, of course, the higher ticket, the higher the tariff. And you add 15% to $10,000, it's a big bite. So it definitely had a big effect on our holiday season.
When you look at your inventory, how much of what you sell at your store was subject to those old tariffs?
Well, we fortunately had a fairly good inventory on hand, but anything that we special ordered for a customer, say if we had it in white gold in the case, but they wanted it in yellow gold, there would be a tariff attached to it. So anything special ordered was subject to tariff.
TJ, when you were on our show last May, you talked about how you've developed these close relationships with many of your coffee suppliers in other countries. How have these farmers been affected by the trade war?
Well, what's interesting is that the application of the tariffs were so widespread that it kind of just neutralized any specific impact for any of our producers. And this is the part about the tariffs that just seems so confusing, in that something that can't be grown in the US, was hit with a blanket tariff, not even really targeting any specific area. So in the end, it just became a tax on our business, and it hasn't really impacted our suppliers outside of the United States, the coffee growers. We've continued to buy from them, and they're kind of all in the same boat where the tariff is applied across the board around the world.
It's not like you can change your supply chains for this coffee.
Correct. Yeah, there's no way for us to redirect our purchases to domestic coffee production. There's only a tiny bit of coffee grown in Hawaii and Puerto Rico. It really just boils down to, you know, there's nothing we can do to change our business practices. We just had to pay the tariff tax when we imported the coffee.
John, I'm curious, you know, China is a leading producer of lab-grown diamonds. India is a big diamond producer in mining. Have these tariffs hit certain gemstones harder than others?
It's been pretty consistent across the board. The biggest effect is finished product, because the tariff was applied at the point where it's a finished piece. That's where most of our special order and inventory orders are done, is buying a complete piece to either put in the case or to deliver to a customer. So everything was subject to tariff. Our suppliers had absolutely no control. In fact, some of them said, when we special order it, this is what the tariff is today, but it will be billed at whatever the tariff is when the product comes in. So it's left in flux.
Okay, because they need to cover for themselves as well in case things change.
Correct.
Yeah. If these tariffs have been hitting your supply chain in every which way, that probably means you haven't been able to adjust to different suppliers for these finished pieces.
No, and like TJ, we really can't change our supplier chain because there's specific designs and styles that we have with each different vendor, and there's no way to replace that with somebody else, especially in any kind of timely manner. So we dealt with the same vendors all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. TJ, the tariffs that the Supreme Court overturned, they involved a range of taxes from 10% to 50%, depending on, you know, where goods were produced. The new global tariffs were set at 10% and now 15%. Which system would you prefer to operate in?
The system where there's no tariffs and back to how we used to do business. But I think, you know, there actually was an exception for coffee under the last tariff regime that came at the end of 2025. And we aren't even totally clear on what that means now with these new tariffs coming in, if that exception still exists. So I think the administration heard from consumers and companies like ours that it didn't really make any sense to be applying tariffs to products that just can't be produced in the United States in a coffee like a product like coffee. But again, things are moving and we're not getting clarity on whether these new tariffs will once again be applied to products like coffee.
We're discussing how Wisconsin businesses are navigating the changing landscape on tariffs. TJ Samanchin is with us, co-owner of Wonder State Coffee. John Hayes is here, owner and president of Goodman's Jewelers in Madison. John, have you passed on your additional costs to your customers, you know, in that engagement ring or that specific piece that a customer wants? How do the prices change?
We did pass that on to our customers. It was, our margins aren't that large that we can afford to absorb it. And customers were very understanding. They knew that the tariff situation was across the whole country. So they were very gracious in working with us and knowing that the tariff was an additional cost to the product they were buying. We worked with Jewelers of America and members of American Gemological Society and working with their advice and how to process the tariffs. And it was definitely something we needed to pass through.
You seem that the customers, with your transparency, the customers tolerated it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. TJ, turning back to you, what are margins like on lattes, for instance? And have you had to pass on some of these costs to your customers by way of raising the price of coffee?
In our cafes, we haven't really had too big of an impact on our costs with the tariffs. It's where we sell whole bean coffee and ground coffee in markets and online that we have had to increase prices. So there's a lot that goes into a latte, you know, the milk and the cup and the barista's labor, so that the actual cost of the coffee doesn't impact that as much. But where we do see it is just in the actual coffee that we raised prices. And last year, what we were experiencing is that there was an increase in the commodity price for coffee. So coffee was getting more expensive, and that's kind of an ongoing story, and largely due to climate change, and it's just harder to grow coffee in the tropics. And so the tariffs on top of that are a multiplier. So as the cost of coffee was going up, and then you add a percentage on top of that, it made the tariff even more expensive.
John, turning to you, with gold prices, which have been in flux, they've been going up over the past year. They jumped again due to the war with Iran. How have these two pressure points affected business?
Dramatically. Everything we order today is at least 2 to 2.5 times what it was a year ago today.
2 to 2.5 times the cost?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Because a year ago, gold was around $2,200, $2,300 an ounce. Now it's over $5,000 an ounce. So that's a huge cost factor difference in manufacturing, which obviously the manufacturers can't absorb that. That's passed right through. So everything we order today is substantially more expensive.
When was the last time you saw a spike like this?
Never, to be honest. I've been doing this for 45 years. And there was in the late 70s, gold jumped up to nearly 1,000, but that's totally different than what it has been doing today. It can vary $100 a day, up and down. It's just very erratic.
Yeah, I want to add to that, you know, it's the same situation for coffee, where these raw material prices are going up, and this is true for a lot of products around the world. And the tariffs, again, are just a multiplier. So when you add a percentage tax on top of that material, when it's already more expensive, it hits it twice.
Yeah, it's definitely a compounder.
A compounding issue. You know, TJ, Wisconsin companies like Kohl's, Milwaukee Tool, they're, you know, among thousands of companies that have sued the Trump administration to recoup tariffs. I'm wondering, to what extent will you at Wonder State work to get a refund for the tariffs that were overturned last month?
Yeah, we're looking at joining kind of a class action of other small businesses. Again, the cost of us individually trying to sue the government is hard as a small business, but we do have some avenues, and one of the organizations I'm working with, the Main Street Alliance, they are working to provide resources collectively.
John, what is your strategy there to recoup the tariffs if the process isn't seamless from the federal government?
Again, we'd follow direction from Jewelers of America and American Gemological Society as an industry Jewelers of America is very proactive in working with situations, not necessarily exactly like this, but giving us guidance along the way of what is realistic to be able to do and achieve.
So you really look to that, the trade associations, to kind of be that guiding light in this moment.
Correct.
You know, John, the tariffs, they're hard on so many businesses in so many different industries. Do you see any upsides for the country by having some trade barriers?
Yeah, there's it affects virtually everything that we get. The U.S. doesn't have diamond mines. We don't have gemstone mines. Very limited amount of gold and silver. So everything we get comes into the country and from someplace else. So if we can minimize those barriers, it would make business a whole lot easier. There are things time to time, like Myanmar. We've had a stop on all of the gemstones coming from there because of the governmental issues. Mm-hmm. So things like pop up every so often as well. So it affects everything we do.
TJ, what about you? Do you see any upsides here in this moment of you know, defunct tariffs and, you know, potential lifting of trade barriers?
Yeah, we are hopeful. I mean, things seem to be trending in the right direction where the administration is losing the court cases. And we are hoping that it's going to be business as usual, you know, pre-tariffs, where we can get some more clarity and consistency in knowing what the cost of our coffee is going to be.
I wonder, when was the last time it was business as usual for you, though?
Right. Yeah, coming out of things like COVID and and then, yeah, I mean, right now it is still dizzying. We've, in one way, have gotten used to the chaos and changing environment, which doesn't mean it's easy, but I do got to remind myself that this is not normal, that that our costs and different taxes are coming in at different rates every other week.
Well, TJ and John, thank you so much for this update and this check-in. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate you covering this important topic for everybody.
That is John Hayes, owner and president of Goodman's Jewelers in Madison, and TJ Samanchin, co-owner of Wonderstay Coffee, which has locations in Madison, Bayfield, and Viroqua. We've been talking about the impact of global tariffs on Wisconsin companies as our state has joined multi-state litigation suing President Trump's administration on the new round of sweeping tariffs. And for disclosure, Wonderstay Coffee is a business sponsor of WPR.